بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Really, the lives of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم are so inspirational. A Sahabi we are to learn about, Khalid bin Zayd رضي الله عنه. Yes, we all know of Khalid bin Walid رضي الله عنه. This is Khalid bin Zayd bin Kulayb bin Sa'laba bin Abd ibn Auf bin Gharm bin Malik bin Najjar. He comes from the Banu Najjar tribe, and Banu Najjar comes from the Khazraj tribe. So this Khalid bin Zayd is an Ansari Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Just to inform you, imagine this Sahabi is buried under the walls of Constantinople, under the walls of Istanbul radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So imagine where Sahaba radiallahu anhum reached, where Sahaba radiallahu anhum reached to uplift the deen of Allah. Khalid bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, commonly known as, his appellation was Abu Ayyub, and he is from the Ansar tribe. Now who doesn't know this Sahabi radiallahu anhu? He embraced Islam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited the youth of Medina to Islam, the sixth in the 11th year after Nubuwa, and they went back to Medina and they started inviting to Allah, they would invite to Islam. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, Khalid bin Zayd, was among those who embraced Islam. And he loved deen so much from day one. And he always wanted to be accepted to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should always ask Allah to accept us. Always we need to ask Allah Ta'ala to accept us. Acceptance from Allah is a very, very great amal. It's something very, very great. He was the Sahabi. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, everyone was welcoming him. Everyone was waiting for him. Everyone wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To such an extent that it was as though their eyes were attached to that road of his arrival. And their hearts were awaiting him. They were yearning for his arrival. That every day they would come out of Medina Munawwara and stand on the roads and on the paths, awaiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival when he was coming on the Safar of Hijrah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling. It was in Rabi'ul Awwal. He left Makkah Mukarramah on the 1st of Rabi'ul Awwal, 8 days journey. He arrived, it was the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Quba. 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. And on the 12th he entered Medina Munawwara. And as he enters Medina Munawwara, everyone wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay with them. They wanted to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whichever tribe he passed, they all would say that please, halumma ila al-adadi wal-uddati wal-quwa, come, O Nabi of Allah, we are ready to sacrifice our lives for you. All our numbers are in your service. All our strength and preparation is under your control and command. You stay with us, you stay in our home, stay in our home. And to a certain extent, in their jazbah, in their yearning, fervor for this, they were pulling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reins towards them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, leave the reins. Da'uha fa'innaha ma'mura. Leave the reins. It is commanded by Allah where to halt. Allah will command these reins where to halt. Allahu Akbar. And every tribe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, they were waiting on the roads of Medina. Waiting to have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their guest, with that yearning, desire and that fervor. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes one household, they're hoping and anticipating that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel would halt here. And as the camel would continue, they would be grieved. And then joy would envelop the next family, hoping, you know, in anticipation that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would halt by us. And like this it continued happening. Until the camel then halted and paused, at which point And everyone is now following this camel, waiting to see who is the lucky individual, who will be fortunate to host Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this camel continues until it halts. It halts at an empty plot next to the home of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Or you can say right in front of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. It was an empty plot there, or next to Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. The camel halted there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still sitting, not touching the reins at all. Then the camel gets up and it goes back a few steps and halts in front of the home of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. So the camel first stopped at the masjid and then by Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. Now imagine Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu's joy. He takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's goods and he takes it into his home. And imagine now how he's carrying that goods, as though he's carrying something more valuable than the whole universe. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was so fortunate that Allah chose him. Allah chose him to welcome the greatest of Allah's creation. To have the greatest of Allah's creation in his home. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was so happy, was so happy. Allah give us tawfiq to welcome the deen of Allah, the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our homes. Bring the deen into our homes. That is bringing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our homes. Bring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnat in our homes. That is closest to bringing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our homes. My respected elders, let's give importance to sunnat. Let's give love to sunnat. And also, if there's a guest of Allah, let's give importance to that guest. Allah Ta'ala will reward us. Allah will be happy with us. Make ikram of the guest. Make the guest comfortable. Quran Kareem speaks of this. Look at Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately instructed and he asked information, whose plot is this next to Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu? It had belonged to two children. They were orphan children, Sahal and Suhail radiallahu anhuma, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to purchase the plot. They wanted to donate it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu paid the value of that plot and it was purchased, and Masjid al-Nabawi was underway. The construction of Masjid al-Nabawi started immediately. So we learn that, my respected listeners, the first thing in the life of a believer is Masjid. Allah give us tawfiq to establish Masjid. Masjids must be established. A'mal must be established. Anyway, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu now becomes the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something very interesting also about Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constructed masjid and then he worked on uniting the community, uniting the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered sahaba radiallahu anhum and made them brothers, created brotherhood between the muhajireen and the ansar. That don't look at race, nationality and background, we are brothers. And this is a very, very important aspect of our deen. Bring muhabbat and unity into the community. This is how we win the help of Allah Ta'ala. Really, this unity takes away Allah Ta'ala's help. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worked on building the society. We have to endeavor to build the ummah. And like this, when we look down upon the next person, we're losing Allah Ta'ala's help. This is something unacceptable in our deen. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to belittling others, racism and mocking at others and looking down upon others because of race or color or nationality. This in deen, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is such a bad deed. Da'uha fa'innaha muntina. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave this filth. This is an act of filth and stench. This was referred to in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worked on uniting the ummah. And he gathered sahaba in Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu's home. And he created brotherhood, a bond of brotherhood between the muhajirin and ansar. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu and Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhuma were made brothers in this mu'akha, in this system of brotherhood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established. Masjid al-Nabawi was underway and Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, remember, is the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu had quite a nice house for those days, and he had two floors in his house, an upper floor and a lower floor. So what he did was, he prepared the upper floor You know, he removed his goods or his necessities from there for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay there. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Ayyub, it will be hard for you and your wife because many people are going to be wanting to come and visit me, be with me. So every time, you know, to pass through and your wife would be busy, it would be difficult. She also needs her privacy. And remember, the homes those days were simple. Upstairs and downstairs was very, very similar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you all stay upstairs, let me stay downstairs. Because so many people coming, you will not be inconvenienced every time. If you all want to rest or do your work or chores, you don't have to always be behind the fact that guests are coming. So it becomes easier. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu complied because that was what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted. And at night now, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side. And now he climbs upstairs, him and his wife, and they just get upstairs and they realize that what have we done? How can we be above and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be below? This cannot be possible. How can we walk above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can we walk between Allah's Nabi and Wahi? Definitely we are goners, we destroyed. And the couple was now bewildered. They didn't know what to do. And what they did now, the only way to solve it was, they went to the corner of the upper floor, far from the side where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is downstairs. And they said, okay, you know, softly they'll sleep on that corner, far away from being above Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even if they needed anything upstairs, they would actually walk slowly, and they would walk on the sides, abstaining from walking in the middle of the upper floor, not wanting to go above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Really, we talk of respect. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had so much of respect and adab in their lives. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. What is our level of adab? How we treat the Quran al-Kareem? How we treat, you know, the aspects of deen? The Quran says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. He who shows respect to the symbols of Allah's deen, this is a sign of taqwa in the heart. Sha'air are those matters and those aspects that are connected to Allah's deen. Sha'air, from the word shu'ur, to perceive and feel. When you see something and you feel deen, that is connected to deen, have respect for it. Anyway, the next day, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, the whole night we didn't get any sleep. Neither myself or Ummu Ayyub. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why, O Abu Ayyub? He said, O Nabi of Allah, we realize that we are in a home above you and you are beneath us. It wasn't possible for us. We couldn't sleep, O Nabi of Allah. And we were worried that if we walk a little faster, the dust would then, you know, come, you know, affect and come out in the bottom floor, you know, from the ceiling. And we didn't want the dust to fall on you. And then what was worst of all was when we realized that we have now become, you know, between you and Wahi. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Ayyub, take it easy. It is not so difficult like that. Huwin alayk, take it easy. It is easier that I be downstairs because so many people are coming and then you will be inconvenienced. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says, okay, I complied because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. Until one night, it was a very, very cold night. And one jar from upstairs broke. And the water was all spilt now. So myself and Ummu Ayyub actually had one blanket or a sheet. And we used that to soak the water and dry it. And we had no other garment to actually use as our blanket. And now we're drying the water with that, because we don't want water now to slowly seep through from the top and then fall on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that night also we couldn't sleep. So we went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we said, O Nabi of Allah, really, we can't bear being above you and you being beneath us. And then he says, I narrated to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the story of the jar. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed and he went upstairs and myself and Ummu Ayyub were underneath and below Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was much better for us because we couldn't bear being above the greatest of Allah's creation. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is respect. Allah give us tawfiq to learn respect. Allah give us tawfiq to bring respect in our lives. Abu Ayyub and Ummu Ayyub, whatever they prepared as meals, they would take it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat. They would refuse to eat. Even though Allah, out of respect, afterwards, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would complete eating, Abu Ayyub and Ummu Ayyub would take and eat from exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate, taking barakat from there. They wanted barakat from there. One day, Abu Ayyub goes to take the container or the plate, and there was nothing eaten from there. So he rushes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, what's the trouble? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no trouble at all. But O Nabi of Allah, I didn't see, you know, you taking anything from here, because I normally eat from exactly where you ate. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, the thing is that foods like this, garlics and so forth, I abstain from, because I am in communication with the malaika of Allah ta'ala all the time. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates a report that one day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it was actually in the time of approximately forenoon at Hajira time, very, very hot in the day, about 11 o'clock or so. He goes to the masjid. Umar radiallahu anhu also went to the masjid. And they just meet each other at the masjid. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how come you come out at this time? It's so hot. This is the time where you make normally qailula. So a friend is telling his friend, actually, it's this excruciating hunger is what forced me to come out. And imagine, where was Sahaba? Hungry, but they went to the masjid. The hunger brought them to masjid. Sahaba understood that masjid is the center of the believer. Any trouble, any problem, Sahaba would go straight to masjid. Not long after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the same hour, arrives at the masjid. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, what brings you all to the masjid? They said, O Nabi of Allah, this excruciating hunger has brought us here. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both of you all come with me. Allahu Akbar. And they both go with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And where does Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take him? They come to Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu used to always keep something for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously this was long after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu's house. Because when the masjid was built, next to that the house of Sauda radiallahu anha and Aisha radiallahu anha was constructed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his friend Abu Ayyub. And Abu Ayyub was, when they reached the door of Abu Ayyub, Ummu Ayyub comes out and says, welcome to the Nabi of Allah, marhaban bi Nabiyyillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and welcome to all those who came with Nabiyullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, where is Abu Ayyub? Abu Ayyub was in the backyard and he was tending to his garden. وَكَانَ يَعْمَلُ فِي نَخْلٍ قَرِيبٍ لَهُ. He had these date palms and he was working on them, on the clusters of the dates. And now he hears Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the house and he rushes. And he's saying, مَرْحَبًا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَبِمَنْ مَعَهُ. Welcome, welcome to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whoever has come with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, I'm so happy you came. You came at this time. Normally you don't come at this time. You have brought so much of joy to me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, O Abu Ayyub. Then Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu went into his garden. And he went to one of the trees. فَقَطَعَ مِنْهُ عِرْقًا. And he broke out one cluster of dates. عِرْق is a cluster, a bunch of dates. And he brought a bunch. He didn't just take out few dates from the cluster. He took out the entire cluster. And in this was tamrun, warutabun, wabusrun. There was the dry date, there was fresh dates, and there was busrun, is the level of the date before being rutab. Rutab is the fresh date. Busr is before it's completely ripe. It's also a very tasty date. It gives a different taste. Busrun, rutabun is when it ripens. And tamrun is where it's, you know, it's ripe already and it's dry. It lasts very, very long. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu brings the entire cluster before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Ayyub, you should have just brought a couple of dates. You don't have to bring the entire cluster. Because if you take the entire cluster, the whole cluster is out. Next season now, another whole cluster will grow. But if you just take out a few, it still grows. The cluster will continue growing. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, why don't you just bring a few? He says, no, I want you all to have every kind of date. And I'm going now to slaughter one goat. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, don't worry about it. He says, no, I will slaughter a goat for you. I'm so happy. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, but don't slaughter one that gives you milk. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu took one young bully goat, Jadian. He slaughtered it. He said to his wife, you bake the bread. You know, you're very good at that. And then he took the goat and he cooked half of it. And he took the other half and he like roasted it or braised it, shawahu. He made it on fire. Now, when the meal was ready and it was put before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the two great Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took out one piece of meat and he put it onto one roti of bread and he said, oh Abu Ayyub, send this quickly to Fatima because she hasn't eaten meat in a very long time. And when they ate, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how many gifts of Allah Ta'ala? How many gifts of Allah Ta'ala? Khubzun wa lahmun. Allah has given us roti, bread, meat, dates, every kind of dates. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to tear. And he said, these are the blessings of Allah Ta'ala that we will definitely be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remember Allah when utilizing these blessings of Allah Ta'ala. When you partake of meals like this, take Allah's name. When you satiate it, read, Alhamdulillahi alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'ama alayna fa afdala. Read these du'as. Oh Allah, I thank you. You have fed us and satiated us and blessed us in an abundant manner. Wa an'ama alayna fa afdala. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abu Ayyub, tomorrow you come and visit me. I want, you know, come by me. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such, when anyone did something good, he would always want to do, you know, for that person. So Umar radiallahu anhu clarifies it with Abu Ayyub. Just remember Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must come tomorrow. But we learn one very important lesson here, my respected listeners. See the etiquette of the guest. How Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu went out of his way for the guest. Allah forgive us. Taking guests home have become a very, very, sad condition in today's times. Nobody wants to have guests in the home. Very, very seldom. When we do have it, we have it very, very seldom. And going out, that beautiful sunnah of going out of the way for the guest. That sunnah of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to go out of their way. What we have to remember is when the guest comes, he's actually eating his own rizq. But how much of barakat is coming into that home? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like the knife goes quickly, goes first to the hump of the camel. And after that the other meat is cut. First the Arabs would cut the hump and much later the other meat was cut because the hump they loved and it would get ready and it was the tastiest meat, the softest, the hump. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like the knife goes to the hump first, barakat will come to the home who Allah's guests are fed first. Feed people in our homes. Bring people home. And when we have a guest, don't ask, will you have something? No. See Abu Ayyub, he just went and brought. The etiquette of the guest is to bring what there is. Put it in front of the guest. And make it comfortable for the guest. Don't say, do you want? Most of the time the guest will feel so ashamed, he won't even ask. So no, it's alright. We won't have anything. But actually the etiquette is to bring. Unless there's no formality between you and that individual, and you know that this person will ask for what he likes, and in that manner it would be a different case. So Allah give us tawfiq, that we should have guests, and encourage ourselves and our families. And if there's a jamaat in our masjid, we should want to cook for that jamaat. If there's pious people in our vicinities, we should invite them home. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring pious people to your home. Allah ta'ala will bless you in this regard. This is something very, very important that we need to bring into our life. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu narrated many ahadith, beautiful, beautiful ahadith. In Musnad of Baqi, rahimahullah, there's 55 ahadith recorded from Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. One beautiful hadith, we always read it, is the hadith of Istikhara, wherein he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you want to propose, when you're proposing, make wudu, perform, you know, perform salah, and then praise Allah, glorify Allah, and in the dua comes these words, Allahumma taqdiru wa la aqdir, wa ta'lamu wa la a'lam, wa anta allamul ghuyub. This beautiful dua is the narration of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. So we are indebted to this sahabi, the fact that this hadith reached us, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. And all his life he lived serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. Served Allah's deen all his life. He never missed out on any expedition. Never missed out on any expedition. He was always there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the time of Badr, and he never missed any occasion. Even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every expedition, every task of deen, every need that there was for deen, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was there. It was on one occasion that he didn't participate because he wasn't happy with the condition of the Amir. So he didn't go. But then after that he regretted that, who, why must I be upset if there's a certain Amir? That's not my duty to worry who's the Amir or who's not the Amir. So he regretted that and then he still went. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. So all his life he served Allah Ta'ala's deen. Even when he was very, very old. He was very, very old and still he went in Allah Ta'ala's way. Amazing incident, when Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu came to Basra, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was the governor of Basra at that time, and he was so happy that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu came to Basra, and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu went out of his way to make ikram of Abu Ayyub, and he told his family, come, we're leaving this house, I got another house, we'll go stay in our other house. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu took his family, left that house, and he handed over the keys to Abu Ayyub, and he says, this house is a gift. This house with everything inside is for you. He said, how can you give me so much? He says, you were the host of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the least I can do for you. Allahu Akbar. Look at the respect Sahaba radiallahu anhum had for each other, and the respect they had for Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. So as we were saying, he spent all his life serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. And he was old. He was old. And Sahaba were going via the ocean to take deen to Constantinople. Constantinople that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Constantinople will be conquered. لَتُفْتَحَنَّ الْقُسْطَنْطِينِيَّةِ. Imagine Medina Munawwara. And this is Constantinople. It was the most advanced city in the world at that time. It was the most advanced city with protection, with so much of protection really. We're just coming from there now. How the city was preserved and protected. The walls were so huge, and the thickness of the wall in so many areas was 3 meters. The height of the wall was 12 meters, 14 meters. It was impregnable. It was surrounded with so much of fortification. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this city will be conquered. And how amazing is the Amir of that army. And how wonderful is that army that will participate in striving and conquering Constantinople. So Sahaba wanted this virtue. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was going along. And the Amir of that army was Yazid. Was Yazid, the son of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first army that will go towards Constantinople will be forgiven. Historically proven, one of the preferred views is this was the first army. There are other views as well. Anyway, en route, while Sahaba radiallahu anhum were traveling, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu became very ill. So Yazid bin Muawiyah, the son of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, comes to visit him and see to him that, what can I do for you, O the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And see the request of Abu Ayyub. What was Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu? My wasiyah is that give my salams to all the individuals of the army. Give them my salams. And tell them that when I pass away, carry me along with you all. Take me with you all. إِلَىٰ أَبْعَدِ غَايَةٍ. Carry me with you all. وَأَنْتَجْفِنُوهُ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِكُمْ. And I want you to bury me under your feet on the battlefield by the walls of Constantinople. Imagine. He was old, and even before coming, when people would ask, why do you have to go, you're so old? He would say, the Quran doesn't allow us to stay behind. إِنْفِرُوا خِفَافًا وَثِقَالًا وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, strive in Allah's way. Light and heavy, young and old. He says, Allah doesn't give us an excuse. We have to strive in Allah's way. Really, For Sahaba to die at home was a disgrace. For Sahaba radiallahu anhum to die at home was a disgrace. He passed away and he was carried and he was buried by the walls of Constantinople. Allahu Akbar. This is where the Sahabi radiallahu anhu's grave is. Up till today, alhamdulillah, his grave is there. And it's revered. It's reported by Ibn al-Athir rahmatullah alayhi and Hafidh ibn Abdul Bar rahmatullah alayhi. And at that time also, when the Christians had drought and they had trouble, they would come to the grave of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu and they would make dua to Allah Ta'ala there. Instantaneously rain would come. Instantaneously. This was Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when Muhammad al-Fatih rahimahullah did conquer, there was some opinions as far as where exactly is the grave of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. But then he asked his sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Aq Shamsuddin, ask Allah's guidance and find out where is the grave of this great sahabi radiallahu anhu. And Allah ta'ala showed Aq Shamsuddin rahmatullah alayhi where exactly was the grave. And Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi marked that point. And it was a point of great reverence of all the Ottoman rulers. When the rulers of the Ottoman Empire would become the Khalif and he would receive the sword of Urtughrul. They would actually, and Uthman, they would actually receive it by the grave of Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They referred to him as Ayyub Sultan, the King Ayyub, meaning Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's where he breathed his last, and that's where Sahaba radiallahu, that's where the sahabi is buried. Really, Allah give us tawfiq to serve Allah Ta'ala's deen and strive in Allah Ta'ala's path. Asma'i reports that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was buried next to the walls of Constantinople. And then the Romans then said that, O Arabs, something very, very peculiar happened. What happened? You know, they could actually sense something different. Because, so they said one of the great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and us also to serve Allah Ta'ala's deen. The Sahabi passed away in the year 52 Hijri. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Please read three quls.